now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Believe or not believe, what does it matter? In these days of human pride, Satan is busy to destroy faith and to leave man like a fool, boastfully standing on his own feet, but forgetting his insufficiency and his deep need of God. If Satan succeeds in this, he knows what an easy prey man will be to him. Man depending on God in faith is secure, but without God, man is like a sheep without a shepherd before a wolf. My Bible verse presents a challenge to all men. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The occasion was this. Our Lord Jesus Christ had performed a hitherto unheard of miracle, giving perfect sight to a man who was born blind. Our Lord knew that this man had a spiritual need that was far deeper than his physical deficiency. So he sought out the man he had healed to reveal himself, awakening him to his need of faith and commitment to the Son of God. When national dictators ignore man's deep spiritual need, laughing at faith in God and deriding the Son of God, they usher in a devilish confusion of frustration in the masses of people, even as we see today. In days when our Lord Jesus is despised and rejected of men, as Isaiah the prophet foretold, it is refreshing to read of this blind man. The Jewish rulers had rejected Jesus of Nazareth and were ready to stone him in their holy temple. And today, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not only kicked out of our governments and colleges, but he is not wanted in our synagogues, cathedrals, and churches. The scripture says he came unto his own, that was Israel, and his own people received him not. And then it adds, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This devilish unbelief has seized the masses today, and yet individual hearts are still being reached for Christ, and there is heard the bold confession, Lord, I believe. Prior to the spiritual experience of the once blind man, he had spoken up for Jesus before his enemies, and when they derided him as being Jesus' disciple, while they claimed to be Moses' disciple, he had not object, but was willing to be so branded. This indicated the working of the Spirit of God within him. Prior to one's salvation, there is a longing in the heart to be the Lord's. Neighbor, don't suppress that longing. Thank God for it. It is God drawing you to Christ to be his. Those religious rulers cast him out. They excommunicated him. Then the Lord Jesus sought out the man who was cast out to reveal himself to him. The cast out Savior is still seeking the cast outs of this world. Neighbor, if no one else wants you, Jesus does. Turn to him and you will find a welcome, for he said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This blind man had already suffered much for his contact with Jesus, and yet he knew not the Lord Jesus in personal saving faith. Many children of Christian parents, and especially of preachers, suffer at school for their father's faith, and sometimes they stand up to it, and yet they must know their father's God as their God, and their parents' Lord as their own Lord and Savior. Our text finds the once blind man face to face with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This personal experience each one of us must have. It may be in the quietness of a home or in the bustle of a crowded train, but there must be that deep soul experience with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then it was that Jesus put to that man the heart-searching question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The man was put on the spot. The question was clear, simple, and direct, and it demanded an answer by word and exemplified by deeds. Neighbor, dost thou believe on the Son of God? What is your answer? None can remain neutral. In the heart there is either faith or unbelief, and in the mouth there is either the confession of faith or the silence of indecision. And in the life, the works of faith are the evidence or the wicked works of unbelief. In this question, there is an issue to face. To belong to Jesus Christ will mean to be ostracized by the world that crucified him. This once blind man needed no one to tell him this, for he had already been kicked out. And this question presented a challenge to accept. Will you dare to stand on the Lord's side? Will you dare to denounce Satan's sin in the world and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What a challenge! It echoes over land and sea. Who is on the Lord's side? The question Jesus put to him called for a decision. And so today, we must each one decide. Neighbor, heaven, earth, and hell await your decision. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Your course in life and destiny in eternity hangs upon your decision. Since then, this question is of such eternal import, let us thoughtfully consider it. Dost thou? This is a personal matter, and it calls for a personal faith. Will you, regardless of the confusion around you, put your personal faith in Jesus, the Son of God? Our Lord drew multitudes in his early ministry, for they never heard such words of divine authority. And to see him heal all sickness and even command the very demons that they thronged him. But as his ministry progressed, fewer and fewer listened to him. And when he faced Calvary's cross, he had to walk that last long mile alone. Let faithful evangelists not be discouraged when they find their lot as their Lord's. When our Lord asked, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" they were even then seeking to kill him. Down through the ages, Christians have been thrown to the lions by Nero and burned at the stake and pulled apart by what called itself the church. And ere long, the forces of evil may again give Christians a torturing testing. Dost thou believe? This is not a say-so faith, which is dead and worthless, but a live-so faith. It must be real in the heart, and then it will certainly bring a change in the life. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Many believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That is just an orthodoxy of doctrine. There is no salvation to those who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But one may believe that he is, and with the demons who have that same faith go down to hell fire. Let me make that more plain. When Jesus was on earth, the very demons cried out, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God," as they believed and trembled. So, while there is no salvation for one who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, yet to only believe that he is the Son of God will no more save a man than it will save a demon. We must believe on the Son of God. This is a confiding faith in which we commit ourselves to him for salvation. We no longer retain any confidence in ourselves nor in our church, but we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and we give ourselves over to him to be his. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The faith that saves is a personal faith, it is a real faith, and it is a confiding faith. To this challenge the man answered in all earnestness, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" This man had been blessed by Jesus, yet knew him not. All he knew was what he said at that religious court, where he referred to Jesus as a man that is called Jesus. And when they asked him, "What sayest thou of him?" he answered, "He is a prophet." And then he added that Jesus must be a man of God. But he was ignorant of who Jesus really was. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Paul added, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This revelation of Jesus Christ we must have in our hearts too if we will be saved. Now the once blind man did not inquire, "Who is he, Lord?" so as to argue religion, nor to simply know more than others. But this man sincerely added, "That I might believe on him." He did not want the faith of superstitious ignorance, as the heathen have. He wanted a faith that had found for its anchor God's answer to all human need, faith in the Son of God. When he confessed, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" divine light followed. Neighbor, if you will get on your knees and confess your ignorance to God, he will shine on you with heavenly light. Tell him how you don't know what it is to be born again, to have eternal life, to have your sins forgiven, and to know Jesus Christ in that personal way as your Lord and Savior, and ask God that you might have this personal experience. Revelation always follows such a confession and a willingness to be a Christian. So upon this our Lord answered, "Thou hast both seen him." Then the Son of God is a real man that we can see and hear, a man of flesh, real humanity. Yes, he was the man, Christ Jesus, in his earthly ministry, and in resurrection, he is still the man on the throne in heaven with that very same body. But that once blind man had seen many men. How could he be sure? How could he surely know which one of them was the Son of God? Our Lord continued, "And it is he that talketh with thee." This was only one, Jesus. No one else was there. And so God has clearly marked out his Son to us. There can be no mistake. He alone was born of a virgin. Jesus alone received the testimony of that voice from heaven crying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He alone lived that perfect life on earth. He alone laid down his life in sacrifice for our sins. And he alone bodily and manifestly rose from among the dead. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God, declared and manifested by God by many infallible proofs. Now comes the confession. "Lord, I believe." It came from the heart. It started with a complete surrender to Jesus as Lord, and it ended with confessed faith in him, while in the middle was that personal pronoun, "I." Neighbor, put your "I" right there, saying, "Lord, I believe." This is the only safe and sure resting place of faith. And then we read, "And he worshipped him." Today as then, religious shrines draw their crowds, but true worshipers are so few. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who give him the adoration and thanksgiving of their hearts. Our Lord is still outside the synagogues, cathedrals, temples, and the churches of our day. And there he is finding his communion with true hearts who love him. These are the true worshipers. The once blind man cried, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Real faith and worship go together as one and are never to be divorced. So he fell at the feet of Jesus and gave him the thanksgiving and adoration of his whole heart. Neighbor, have you ever bowed at the feet of Jesus Christ and confessed to him your belief in him as your Lord and Savior? If never before, why not now, today? And true worship never stops there. It always has an offering. Imagine a Jew going to worship his God at the tabernacle or the temple, empty-handed. Had not God commanded 3 times, "None shall appear before me empty"? One Jew brought a lamb, another 2 turtle doves, but none were empty-handed. But today we sacrifice no animal to God. What then shall we bring? Hearken, present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. There it is. We give ourselves, our bodies, yes, all we are and all we have to our God. Let no preacher dare say, "You just believe and you're saved." Later on, if you desire to, you may give yourself to the Lord to serve him, but you don't need to do that to be saved. Let us put such trashy preaching more bluntly. It is like saying, "Jesus, I'm glad to get all you have to give me, eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, a home in heaven, and much more, but I still expect that I will be allowed to live my life for myself and the way I like to live it." Is that Christianity? Is that Bible gospel? You know, and you don't need me to tell you. That is never the language of the one who is found in Jesus, his Lord and Savior. Neighbor, with all your heart, receive the Son of God as your own Lord and Savior. And in doing so, right then, not years after it, make a glad and complete surrender of yourself to be his, to serve and obey him. This is what it is to believe on the Son of God. It is, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. No shortcuts, but go all the way. For faith and worship refuse to be separated. It is, "Lord, I believe, and I worship thee as I give myself to thee, a living sacrifice. Thou Son of God art my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." Believe or not believe, what matters it? Hearken to this decree from the very throne of the Almighty God of heaven. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What then could matter more to you and to me? And what question could be so vital to our eternal happiness as, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So right now, tell God your answer. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman. You had better understand this message if you will read the Bible account of this man born blind in John chapter 9. That's John chapter 9.